Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus is saying, that's the word he used. I'm one who's among you, making sure that your cup's filled up. That's the heart of God.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible.
Hey friends, do you need help facing a crisis with confidence? What about understanding your emotions, dealing with depression? When you just can't take it anymore, does that sound familiar? Well, my friend Dr. Ed Heinzen has written a book called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. This is a great book, much needed for times like these. Get a copy for yourself. You might want to get a copy for your friend. He covers so many wonderful topics that you and I deal with every day. And from a great theologian who's now with Jesus Christ, but before he went to see the Lord, he gave us a great life example and great books like this one. Get your own copy for yourself, Trusting God When Times Are Tough.
That's Trusting God When Times Are Tough by Dr. Ed Heinzen. For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book as a thank you for your generous donation. Add Trusting God When Times Are Tough to your library by supporting Real Life today. Get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series in the Gospel of Luke with a message called Pride on Parade. Now, you know, this series called the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 22, we'll consider how pride loves its own attention. You see, Jesus is just hours from the cross at this point, and yet he remains humble by washing his disciples' feet. He does it as a reminder that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack teaches that the opposite of pride is love. Our love for Jesus will elevate those around us, and caring for others will get us to think outside of ourselves. Now, with his message called Pride on Parade, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Job 2, verse 4. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all a man has, he will give for his own life. Did you know Satan said that to God? In what context? God says to Lucifer, Satan, have you considered my servant, Job? Job served the Lord. And Satan says, yeah, of course I have, but who wouldn't worship you if everybody was treated like you treat Job? Satan's calling God's character into question, that he has favorites. God makes it very clear in the Bible that he's not a respecter of persons. Did you know that you are just as loved right now? I love you, but I don't care how you feel about what I'm about to say. Okay, it's time we grow up and understand something. God says, I love you, and I'm not a respecter of persons, which means he loves you exactly the same as he loved Job, Peter, and everybody else. There's no inequity with him. He loves us the same. And that same is jumbo huge. So Satan says to God, yeah, well, you know, Job's spoiled, frankly, by you. Take away his stuff. Satan said, and he'll curse you to your face. And you know what he was suggesting? He's a fair weather follower. That's who he is. America's going through some tough times. I don't need to tell you. And strange things are going on in the spirituality of America. Churches are going bankrupt, over 50% bankruptcies among churches because they can't make their payments. Because people aren't tithing, they can't tithe. Or they choose not to tithe. I don't know. I don't need to know that story. I don't need to know anybody else's story but this story. But this is happening. Churches are less and less attendance in many areas, but not in all areas. Some churches are flourishing at a time like this. How can that be? It goes against the mathematical odds. It goes against the trend of the times. What's going on? Difficulties will either cause, listen, those who are truly not God's people to run away from him because they're fair weather followers of God. I will lift my hands as long as you're good to me. I will sing to you as long as you bless me. I will be a Christian as long as you are good to me, God, and taking care of me, God. But the moment that doesn't, the moment I lose my house, the moment I lose my car, the moment my world caves in, that's it. I'm done with you. I'll go find some other God. And church, that's what's going on in America. If you want to hear it or not, it's happening now. People are saying, I've had enough. You know what? I've been a Christian for 25 years and I lost my house and I'm going to hold God responsible for this. Did you know that if that's your heart, you very well possibly were not a Christian ever at all? Trials, difficulties. Jesus in a moment will say, you've been with me through my hardships. That's a word of encouragement. I thank God for each and every one of you who are here today right now. Why? Because instead of choosing in light of this current financial crisis, you've not only come here rather than going down to Joe's Bar and Grill to try to drown away your troubles, you've come here to worship the Lord in face of them, but days are going to get harder. They're going to get worse. And you're preparing for the future by being right here, right now. You're preparing for what's coming. You're in the right place. You've done the right thing. And so Satan tore into Job, and you read the book of Job. You want to get encouragement? You think your life's bad? Read the book of Job. You'll feel fantastic when you get to the end of that book. It's amazing. Pride. Pride can't serve. It will not do it. Pride justifies its position, always making excuses rather than just serving the Lord. You know what? I am so blessed. You guys, this church is amazing because you know what? You see my fat face talking to you a couple times a week, okay? You know what? This is the role that I play here, but you know what? I do next to nothing compared to those who make this place happen. When you came in this morning, the chairs were straight. The place is clean. The windows are clean. The hallways, the courtyard, the plants, the watering that takes, all of that is done by volunteers. Did you know that? You go out in that courtyard, all that stuff's done by, it's amazing. Parking lot, getting 1,000 cars in and out of a parking lot per service. Volunteers. And then if that wasn't enough, reaching missionaries around the world, broadcasting messages into Russia, into North Africa, along the maritime radio network to sailors at sea. You're doing that. I don't do that. You make it happen because you're servants. And there's no telling that if all of us got on the same page, can you imagine what could happen? A lot of people talking about grassroots effort, you know, let's Twitter, let's do this. Look, you go ahead and Twitter. I don't have time to Twitter. But you want to Twitter, you Twitter. You want a Facebook or whatever it's called, you do all that stuff, that's fantastic. But can you imagine if the church rose up and said, we will serve? Can you imagine if there was one gigantic Twitter from God and he said, in the next 5 minutes, do something awesome to somebody around you? Can you imagine? We had to do that somehow. This is God. I don't think God talks like that, but you know, those TV shows make us, oh, this is God. Oh. Can you imagine if we got a Twitter from God and he said, the closest person next to you, the next 10 feet, in the next 5 minutes, encourage them. Yeah, but I don't know if they're a Christian or not. Who cares? Treat them like a Christian. They might become one. Well, that guy's not the right color. He's white. He's black. He's some other color in between. Can I do that? Do it. Just do it. Be radical. Watch what happens. I set you up because God's twittering constantly. The Holy Spirit says, hey, isn't he always saying that? That's how he says it. That's why he talks to me. It's like Holy Spirit, chapter 1, verse 1. Hey, that's my name. And then he says amazing things. But you know what gets in the way? I can't talk to that person. God, come on, pick somebody else. We're just like Moses. God, I can't talk, pick somebody else. It's amazing. Why do we back away? Pride. I don't want somebody to think I'm a fool. They already do. Number two, pride creates its own kingdom. Did you know that? Pride goes around strutting around, doing its own little thing. Promoting its own kingdom, verses 27 to 30. Pride can't keep up, though, with humility. They're in a race. It's hilarious. Here's pride. Watch this. Jesus is going to say, who's greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? That's the status. The guy sits at the table. He's the big wheel. But look at, Jesus says, look at me. I'm not sitting at the table. I'm the one serving. And the word serve in the Greek, jot it down, circle it. Verse 27, the word serve, it's the word that we use for when we go out to breakfast this morning, if you do, or out to dinner. It's for a person that is waiting on you, a waiter, a servant. And the word in Greek means to cap off or to fill up your cup. Have you ever been, you guys, we went recently, it's very expensive. It was a special occasion. I don't remember what it was. I better remember. It was my anniversary, I think. Yes, I was just joking. We went to this place in Brea called the Melting Pot. Let me tell you something. You gain 10 pounds in one visit at this place. The food's amazing. But the waiters, they just wait on you hand and foot. And you take a little sip from your coffee and it, fill it up. It's like, wow, okay. And then it's like a game. Drink your coffee. Because they're like this. They're just serving. Okay. You want some more of that? You want some more coffee? You want a napkin? It's like, get away from us, will you? It's driving us crazy. Listen, Jesus is saying, that's the word he used. I'm one who's among you, making sure that your cup's filled up. That's the heart of God. And we walk around, I don't know if I want to do anything. Are we Christians? Are we on our way to heaven? Aren't we happy about that? Then we want to be more like him. The amazing thing is, there's a joy to service, and they're in a race. Pride and humility is in a race. You know what's funny? Pride has a tendency to cause your chest to stick out. You ever seen somebody trying to run a race with their chest sticking out? It's hilarious because they'll lose every time. They can't get into it because they're so into themselves. They can't make it down the street. Humility is a characteristic from God, and Jesus taught us how. It's an amazing thing to keep in mind. The Bible warns us we need to be encouraging humility and slaying the pride that's in our lives. And you guys, the pride that's in our lives, verses 28 to 30, is exposed. Pride cannot endure difficulties. Can you write that one down? Pride cannot endure difficulties or affliction. It can't handle it. And you say, what do you mean by that? Look at verse 28. Jesus says, you guys have continued with me in my trials. That's a beautiful, sweet word that he gives them. You guys, come on. You know what this is all about. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 30, very quick background. It's not all that important, but it adds color to what is really going on here. Jesus, remember, is in the upper room setting. It's the Passover meal. Jesus, imagine a table, you guys, shaped like a big U, okay? And Jesus is in the middle. And whoever is the most honored sits on the right hand first, closest to Jesus, and then the next honored person is on the left. Then the next second to the right, second to the left, third to the right, third to the left. Are you with me? All the way around the table until the two losers are on the other end. No, you should be happy that you were invited. I'm sure it's great. If you would have been listening to Jesus, none of that would have mattered. But in human thinking, it's like, man, where am I in that picture? You can look at the whole, let's take a team picture. Everybody looks great. And you'll say, you look at yourself, and you know when you get a picture of the group shot. Oh, there I am. You're the first one you look for. Why? Pride. Well, who cut the pie? Who cut the pie? Well, why? What does it matter? Well, he got a bigger piece of pie than I did. Why do you care? Because I'm very proud. Think about it. I want the bigger piece. I want this for me. It's absolutely amazing. So you find yourself in the picture, and if your eyes have closed, or if you're not smiling, or there's a booger or something, you know, in your nose, and it's like, take it over, take it over, take the picture over. And everybody likes their picture, but you don't like your picture. It's arrogance, it's pride, it's who we are. We battle with this every day.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
We're funny people because somebody will say, Pastor, your message is not getting through to me. It's not getting through to me because I hate myself. You do not hate yourself. Oh, yes, you have no idea how much I hate me. Why do you hate you? Because I'm just so ugly. You hate yourself because you're ugly, so you should be very happy that if you hate yourself, you're ugly, so you hate yourself. Is that right? That's right. Well, then you should be happy because you hate yourself that you're ugly. Think about it. I'm so ugly, I hate myself, so thus I'm happy. It doesn't work. We are by nature self-centered. It happens when we first come out of our moms. We're held up to the world like we're some sort of an icon, idol. Look, I've got pictures of my daughter still plugged into my wife with a cord. You know the cord? The umbilical cord? I got a clock. Rebecca was born at 12 minutes after 4 in the afternoon. How do I know? Because she's like this with the cord. It's a great shot just going down there, like just like Neil Armstrong or somebody in space. It's incredible. It's amazing. We come out like that. Look at me. I'm higher than all the rest of you guys. And a little baby grows up thinking, man, this is my world. It's funny. It's great. Sort of. But pride can't handle difficulties in life because pride says things like this. How could this happen to me? See, what happens to everybody? Not me. Why are you saying that? Because of the pride that you and I need to deal with in our lives. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in the righteousness or in righteousness and in holiness. Awesome and amazing. Third point this morning is this, verses 31 to 34. You would think, wait, should we stop here and not get into the third point because it shifts? It's different? No, not at all. Verse 31 to 34, pride seeks to preserve its own interest. Pride will seek to preserve its own interest because pride, listen, to deal with this, pride must be identified within us. We've got to look at it. We got to deal with it. Because God hates it. And pride keeps us out of Christian service. Pride keeps us out of worship. Pride keeps us out of commitment. Pride messes up our marriages. Pride keeps a father distant from his children or a mother distant from her husband. Pride. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Pride. That's how Satan thinks. Arrogance. It's wrong. Pride must be identified. How incredibly tragic and at the same time, listen carefully, encouraging. And the Lord said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Yikes. The word sift means to shred to pieces. It means to drag a log over. That's what the word means, to drag a log over you. As wheat. That's how you get wheat broken from the chaff. You drag a log over it. Look at verse 32. Is this not encouraging? In verse 32, immediately Peter finds out if he was remembering. Look, we have hindsight. It's easy for us. In the next statement, Peter will have figured out that he's not the one betraying Jesus. How do you know that? Verse 32 says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Oh my goodness, you guys, listen, take out your pen because this is very cool stuff. You can get this for free. You don't have to buy a book or nothing. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for, the word in Greek is use, Y-O-U-S. We don't talk like that. Use coming with us? Use. It means Satan has asked for each and every one of you guys by name. The word means by name. You guys. If Satan asked for those guys, each one by name, don't you think he asked God to want to beat up on each and every one of us by name? Aren't you glad Jesus is your strong tower? Amen. Think about it. The word is very, very bizarre, you guys, I have to admit. When Satan came and spoke to Jesus, when it says Satan has asked, the word asked is not the, in English we read the word asked. In the Greek, it is he has demanded ownership because he owns you boys. Huh? Wow. He is usurping authority. He is saying they still belong to me. And I want to sink my teeth into Andrew. I want him by name, Jesus. And I tell you what, James drives me nuts. I want to rip him from limb to limb. And I want him now. Every name Jesus heard from Satan's mouth. Can you imagine? What's your name today? Satan says, I want Mike and I want him now. And I want to rip his life through my fangs and teeth until there's nothing left of him. And I leave his life a heap of ruined mess. Can you imagine? Satan's asking everyone by name to Jesus. And Jesus says, no, not Andrew. Listen to this, you guys, this is freaky. Nope, not Andrew, can't have him. James, can't have James. John, can't have John. Peter, you can have. Isn't that weird? You can have him. Why? Because I personally believe, you know how Peter, his history for these last 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry has always been to take the lead, open his mouth, even when it was wrong time to talk, he talked anyway. But he also was, listen, he was also the guy who was brought into private meetings with Jesus, who saw little dead girls arise. He also saw lepers cleansed. He also was firsthand at the Mount of Transfiguration. He had been given a lot of stuff. It's very possible that he was a little bit maybe kind of pumped up about it all. It's possible that when Jesus looked at Peter and said, you know what, now here's a leader. He's a little goofy, but he has great potential. Satan, you can tear into him. Is that bad or good? Well, if Jesus is the one commanding the show, it's very good. It may hurt, but you know what Jesus was doing? Jesus was using Satan's power, who he himself wanted to inflict pain. Jesus uses Satan to perfect one of his leaders. How do you know? Because Jesus says, when you return, the word, by the way, listen, this will back up this theory. When you return, the word return means when you have stopped going down your own road. The word means when you have come to the end of your own course and you return to me, then you take what you've learned from your journey and your experience and you strengthen your brothers. You guys, are you hearing this? Yes. You need to get this. In the difficulty, Peter was favored. Oh, not favored like super special. Favored that the Lord saw in him, number one, a little bit of arrogance popping up. That needs to be dealt with. Number two, when he gets his head back on straight, this is going to be a great guy. And to prove the point further, Peter says, I am willing to go to prison and to death with you. You guys, was he sincere? He was sincere. Did he not know what he was talking about? He did not know what he was talking about. You got to give him an A for trying. But do you hear still how much stuff is in him, of him? He's pretty impressed with himself. He could be a legend in his own mind. And the Lord says, I want to use you, but not like that, because it would be all about you. And so, as I wrap this up, I'm thinking, Simon, Satan has asked for you by name, and he's been demanding, by the way. And if I would have been Peter, I would have said, so I don't care if he's been asking you for my, you know, demanding me. I don't care. Because, I mean, you never would have let that happen, would you? I mean, you told him no, right? Can you imagine? And then Jesus says, well, when you come through it, Peter, I want you to speak to your brothers and strengthen them. Got to get you through.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Pride on Parade. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey friends, do you need help facing a crisis with confidence? What about understanding your emotions, dealing with depression? when you just can't take it anymore? Does that sound familiar? Well, my friend Dr. Ed Heinsohn has written a book called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. This is a great book, much needed for times like these. Get a copy for yourself. You might want to get a copy for your friend. He covers so many wonderful topics that you and I deal with every day. And from a great theologian who's now with Jesus Christ, but before he went to see the Lord, he gave us a great life example and great books like this one. Get your own copy for yourself, Trusting God When Times Are Tough.
That's Trusting God When Times Are Tough by Dr. Ed Heinsohn. For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book as a thank you for your generous donation. Add Trusting God When Times Are Tough to your library by supporting Real Life today. Get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.